Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Raj Granta Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Sri Harinam Sankirtan ki, Sri Sri Kishore Kishore ki, and the Thai Gaura Premanandi. Glories to the Assembled devotees. All glories to the Assembled devotees. Glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. One other small announcement before we start. We had originally scheduled our November 5th planning meeting for this morning after class, but we postponed that till tomorrow after class. So that'll be tomorrow morning right after Bhagavatam class. That's for the Pathways of Peace Festival. So we're reading from Srila Prabhupada's Shikshamrita, This is book editing, proofing, and translating. So this is to Mandalay, Vajra, January 20th, 1972. No, I'm sorry. This is to Hamsaduta, January 20th, same day. So far translating, I have made Mandalay Vajra as chief translating department, as chief of translating department. He shall translate comfortably, and all other translations must be checked and edited and approved by him with grammatical corrections. It is not that we may present any crude translation and that is acceptable. No, even though the transcendental subject matter of Vedic literature is still spiritually potent despite the crudest translation, still, because we have got facilities to make it perfect, that is our philosophy. When I translated Srimad Bhagavatam, I had not the facilities, so you may notice grammatical discrepancies. But because Mandalay Vajra is now head of translating department, you have got all facility to translate our books in perfect German language. End of letter. Prabhupada's again explaining the importance of doing things more people will appreciate, especially scholars. This is to Shiro Daksai, April 18th, 1972. Regarding Back to Godhead, my plan is this, that you shall simply translate our English issues and reproduce the writings and insert it wherever there's a writing in English version. They have already got the plates in Japan, so you will not require any photos. Simply translate into Hindi the English text and lay it out exactly the same columns on the page. Every publication you translate should be done just like this. Now send immediately one composed Back to Godhead to Tokyo immediately, and I shall get it begun. I am very glad to hear that you are all happy in Vrindavan, and that the Sankirtan party from Radha Damodar Temple to our new place is being appreciated. Please continue this. You have retired from material life, and Krishna has given you the nicest place in this material world to live. So stick there, and every month send one Back to Godhead in Hindi composition to Tokyo. Radharaman Goswami is there with you, so you work together and do this job nicely. Next letter is to Hamsaduta. I don't think that Hayagriva is at fault. He has not changed the meaning or the philosophy in any way. But if you like to use the original manuscript, then if it is possible, you can use it. And then one more we'll read. This one is to Dinanath, 26 July 1975. I therefore suggested in my last letter that now you are in ripe old age, so you can accept vanaprastha life, which is your duty as being born in a Brahmin family. And this is not the, this is another Dinanath. This is not the one we're thinking of, the kirtan leader Dinanath. This is another one. According to our Vedic principle, a Brahmana is supposed to accept the four vanas, namely Brahmacharya, Grihastha, Vanaprastha, and Sannyas. Others do not accept Sannyas, but a person who is a Brahmana must accept Sannyas at the end of his life. So I would suggest that you now retire from family life and accept at least Vanaprastha order, keeping your wife with you as assistant and fully engaged in translating the Vedic literatures as far as possible. It appears that in the Western countries there's a great demand for real knowledge of the Vedic literature. So you are a learned scholar both in English and Hindi, and you can do this completely devoted to the service of Lord Ramachandra. I have opened many temples all over the world, numbering 100. Enclosed herewith are some of the photos of some of the deities in some of the temples. Very recently, we have established our temple in Vrindavan at the cost of 50 lakhs of rupees or more. The governor of UP, Dr. Channa Reddy, was present for 2 days for the opening ceremony. All the Goswamis and sannyasis like Akananda Swami all attended the ceremony. We have got a guest house there containing about 80 rooms, and the recent report is that not less than 500 men are coming daily to visit the temple. Prasad is being distributed to the poor, and others are purchasing prasadam to the extent of rupees 100 per day. We are also selling our books. Now I wish to establish some temple of Ramachandra, Sitaram. Of course, it depends on the mercy of Lord Ramachandra. Therefore, I am still requesting you to join our movement, completely retire from family life, and engage yourself in translation work for the rest of your life. Again, this is to Dinanath. Obviously, he was someone living in India who was quite elderly, who came to our movement by the grace of Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada was seeing that when a person gets on in years, when he has settled his family, children are grown up, and he's no need to work anymore, and then naturally one should take to spiritual life. This is the Vedic culture. It's not that we just finish out our life with the family and then die in that situation. And then dying in that situation means to be forced to take birth again, because being surrounded with family members means one's still attached to that situation, and therefore leaving the body in that situation means another birth is guaranteed. So the idea is to finish the responsibilities in family life and get the children situated, the wife taken care of, and then devote oneself 100% to the service of the Lord. That is Vedic culture, and that is necessary in order to achieve the goal of human life. Okay, so these are some points, book editing, proofreading, and translating by Srila Prabhupada. Any questions or comments? Okay. Srimad Bhagavatam. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Canto 9, Chapter 1, text number 19 through 33, which means that these are all various translations. 33 is the text on the board here. Wow, what a wonderful purport this is. We have such a short, this is such a wonderful purport for such a short class. Okay, so we should read the preceding text to the one that's being given today. Translation. The most powerful great-grandfather Vasishtha, after hearing these words of Manam, understood the discrepancy on the part of the priest. Thus he spoke as follows to the son of the sun god. Text 20. This discrepancy is the objective. In the objective is due to your priest's deviation from the original purpose. However, my own prowess, I shall give you a good son. So what is being explained here, there was a sacrifice being performed in order to get a male child. And at the the child came out as a female, and so there's some question about the authenticity of the sacrifice. And so actually it was the priest who at the very last minute desired a girl to have it, and because he changed the whole thing, not telling anybody, that's what happened. And so the person who was on behalf of the sacrifice was being performed, whose name is was Manu, wasn't it?
Shatadev
Manu. Shatadev Manu, yeah. And he's a little bit perplexed here. Because actually Manu's wife, she wanted a girl, so the priest fulfilled her desire. And Manu was wondering what happened. The sacrifices don't work anymore. Sukadeva Goswami said, O King Parikshit, after the most famous and powerful Vasishtha made his decision, he offered prayers to the Supreme Vishnu to transform Ila into a man. So now he's going to change the girl into a boy. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, the Supreme Controller, being pleased with Vasishtha, gave him the benediction he desired. Thus Ila was transformed into a very fine male named Sudyumna. O King, that hero, Sudyumna, accompanied by a few ministers and associates, and riding on a horse brought from Sindhu Pradesha, once went into the forest to hunt. He wore armor and was decorated with bows and arrows, and he was very beautiful. While following the animals and killing them, he reached the northern part of the forest. There in the north, at the bottom of Mount Meru, in the forest known as Sukumara, where Lord Shiva always enjoys with Uma, Sudyumna entered that forest. O King Parikshit, as soon as Sudyumna, who was expert in subduing enemies, entered the forest, he saw himself transformed into a female and his horse into a mare. When his followers also saw their identity transformed and their sex reversed, they were all morose and just looked at one another. You go. Imagine just looking in the mirror and then you realize you're not a boy anymore, you're a girl, or vice versa. What would you do? Chant Hare Krishna? What else could you do? Maharaj Parikshit said, O most powerful Brahmana, why was this place so empowered? And who made it so powerful? Kindly answer this question, for I'm very eager to hear about this. Sukadeva Goswami answered, great saintly persons who strictly observe the spiritual rules and regulations and whose own effulgence dissipated all the darkness in all directions once came to see Lord Shiva in that forest. When the goddess Ambika saw the great saintly persons, she was very much ashamed because at that time she was naked. She immediately got up from the lap of her husband and tried to cover her breast. Seeing Lord Shiva and Parvati engage in sexual affairs, all the great saintly persons immediately desisted from going further and departed for the ashram of Narayan. Thereupon, just to please his wife, Lord Shiva said, any male entering this place shall immediately become a female. So Shiva pronounced the curse. Text 33. Tata urdvam vanam tad vai purusha rajayanti hi sa chanuchara samyukta vichachara vanand vanam tata urvam vana tadvai purusha vajayanti sa chanuchara samyukta chachara vinadvanam tata urvam vanam tadvai purusha vajayantihi sachanuchara samyukta vichachara vanadvanam tata urvam vanam tadvai purusha vyajayantihi sachanuchara samyukta vichachara vanadvanam. From that time onward, vanam, forest, tat, that, vai, in particular, purusha, males, varjayanti, do not enter, he, indeed, sa, sudyumna, in the form of a woman, cha, also, anuchara, samyukta, accompanied by his companions, vichachara, walked, vanat, vanam, within the forest from one place to another. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Since that time, no male had entered that forest, but now King Sudyumna, having been transformed into a female, began to walk with his associates from one forest to another. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 2.22 it is said, so who knows that verse 2.22? Keep going. Two more lines. It's the most amazing script. Vasamsi janani yataya vidhayav navani grananti nano paranita tasari nani vahaya janani anani samyani navani dehi. It's a beautiful verse. Bhagavad Gita. Who knows the translation to that verse? Anyone know the translation? 2.22?
Person gives up on their
Yeah, exactly. As a person puts on new garments, giving up the old ones, the soul accepts new material bodies, giving up the old and useless ones. The body is just like a dress, and here this is proved. Sudyumna and his associates were all male, which means that their souls were covered by male dress. But now they became female, which means that their dress was changed. The soul, however, remains the same. It is said that by modern medical treatment, a male can be transformed into a female, and a female into a male. The body, however, has no connection with the soul. The body can be changed either in this life or in the next. Therefore, one who has knowledge of the soul and how the soul transmigrates from one body to another does not pay attention to the body, which is nothing but a covering dress. Pandita Samadarshinaha. Such a person sees the soul, which is part and parcel of the Supreme Lord. Therefore, he is Samadarshi, a learned person. Om Gyanti Midandasya Ganajana Salakaya Chaksu Unmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadam Mayam Dadanti Swampadantikam Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar from Srivasati Gaura Vaktivinda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So here, interesting story which illustrates very clearly that the body is like a dress. The living entity in the material world designates its identity in various ways. And probably the most prominent designation is our gender designation. We have a very strong understanding, I am a man or I'm a woman. Therefore I act like a man or I act like a woman. That along with racial designations is very strong. These two things, race and gender, are so strong that people can't even begin to see anything outside of that designation. In fact, people fight based on these designations. There are, what we say, so many wars based on racial conflicts. But here we're speaking about gender. But even in the gender designation, we find that people rally around various issues due to gender designations. There's women's issues, men's issues, and, you know. So people have a very, very strong, the living entity of us has a very, very strong sense of identity with the material body. But here we have the example of how King Sudyumna, he was traveling with his companions and he entered into a forest that had been cursed by Lord Shiva, that anyone who comes here will immediately change into a female, because he didn't want to embarrass his wife, who was once embarrassed previously by some soldiers who came into the forest. So immediately anyone who comes into that forest, their body becomes female. So Prabhupada explains in the purport here, quoting the verse from Bhagavad Gita, that the body is like a dress, just like every day when we change our clothes. So we put on clean clothes each day. So we don't think, well, I am these clothes, you know, I'm a dhoti, or I'm a sari, or I'm, you know, whatever else we wear. We don't identify the clothes as us. There's that famous story that devotees take part in a dramatic expression wherein one man is drowning and a woman, his wife is on the shore and she's calling out, please save my husband, save my husband, save my husband. So the man, somebody comes along, dives in and he comes running back and he has the husband's coat. He said, I've got your husband here, see? She said, that's not my husband, it's his coat. There's a drama like that. So just to bring out, to illustrate that, you know, just as we identify ourselves with the body, and we don't identify ourselves with our clothes, we should not identify ourselves with this body. We are not these bodies. That is the, as we say, it's not in a very advanced understanding of spiritual principles. That is actually the basic principle. Srila Prabhupada says, before you can make real spiritual advancement, you really have to get off the bodily platform. You have to stop thinking in terms of your bodily designations. And then, at least you have to stop acting in terms of bodily designations. That means we act on a spiritual platform. We follow the rules and regulations that help us transform our consciousness into Krishna consciousness, where we identify ourselves as a spirit, part and parcel of Krishna. So these bodies are not the real identity, but we get so caught up in these bodies. And that there was one story where Vidyananda Maharaj was preaching somewhere in South America, and he was preaching to some aristocratic people, a man and a woman, quite wealthy. And he was explaining the basic principles of spiritual life, and he was saying, you're not this body. And the lady was saying, yes, I understand, I'm not this... He was saying, you are a soul. Your identity is a soul. She says, yes, I know I'm a soul, but I'm a female soul. In other words, she was taking her bodily designation, my husband's a male soul, and I'm a female soul. So we're both souls, but... So this body designation goes very, very deep. And people are so attached to this thing. But just like in a relationship between a husband and wife, what is that relationship? And the relationship is based on bodily designations. But then again, that person who you might be your husband might have been a woman in the last life. And that person, your wife, might have been a man in the last life. So it's a very interesting affair when you think about it. You don't know what the situation is. Presently, that's the situation. So we identify with it. But we are not these bodies. Right. There's actually, here it's mentioned, Srila Prabhupada says that medical science can make the transformation. They can even do that. They can change a female into a male and a male into a female. Without mentioning any names, there is a devotee in our movement who took on this transformation. And I know the person quite good. So it happens. It's there. And of course you read about it in the papers. And some people get so hung up with their body that they even change their dress. A woman will put on man's clothes and a man will put on woman's clothes. Right? And they think, I'm different because I changed my clothes. So this whole identity of bodily designation is simply it's part of the illusion. It's part of Maya. You know, we are not these bodies. And we should act on the spiritual platform. Here, Prabhupada quotes one verse from the fifth chapter of Bhagavad Gita. Vinaya vidyaya vinaya sampane brahmana gavi hastini suni chaiva saparke cha panditat samadarshanaha. That a learned and gentle Brahman sees with equal vision a brahmana, a cow, an elephant, a dog, and a dog-eater, outcast. In Bhagavad Gita, there's a wonderful illustration depicting this particular philosophical principle, where in the hearts of each of these living entities, we see the soul, but we see that the body is different. So that is spiritual consciousness, that one who is samadarshi, he sees with equal vision. He doesn't see the body, he sees the soul. Seeing the body means we become attracted or averse based on that body. Some bodies attract us and some bodies don't attract us. And if we are subject to attraction and aversion based on bodily identification, then we are on the material platform. So gradually we have to elevate ourselves to the spiritual platform. Actually, all bodies are meant for Krishna's enjoyment. The body is Krishna's energy. It's meant to be used in Krishna's service. So everyone's body actually ultimately belongs to Krishna. And the perfection of that energy is to be used in Krishna's service. So when we try to enjoy our bodies, or we try to enjoy someone else's body, outside of Krishna consciousness, or outside of the regulative principles, then we become implicated in a reaction. In other words, we become sinful because everything belongs to Krishna. Just like it's explained that Sanatana Goswami, he had contracted a very severe case of oozing sores all over his body. And he felt that my body is so abominable that I should simply commit suicide. I should give up my life. And so he was about to throw himself under the Ratha Yatra cart during the Ratha Yatra ceremony to give up his body. And he was thinking, if I do that, at least I'll attain Krishna. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is the indwelling super soul in the hearts of all living entities, understood the mind of Sanatan Goswami, and he approached him. He said, my dear Sanatan, you are a thief. You're going to take another's property and destroy it. He said, your body belongs to me. I have plans for your body. I want you to do this service for me. And you want to destroy my property, therefore you are a thief. Chastised, really heavy. And Sanatana Goswami woke up to the reality of what he was. Of course, he was thinking, yes, I know I'm not this body, but my body is so bad that it's not worthy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's even visual darshan. So let me give it up. So here the principle is that one cannot give up the body, and then the other principle is one cannot enjoy the body. Two sides. One cannot enjoy the body and one cannot give up the body. We try to enjoy it and then we become frustrated and we want to give it up. And bhoga tyaga. I enjoy, there's no happiness, so let me give it up. I enjoy something, there's no happiness, let me give it up. And bhoga tyaga. Hankering after sense gratification, lamenting when there's no pleasure, and then again hankering for something else. Srila Prabhupada said that is the material world. It's like a big football field. One side is hankering and one time the side is lamenting. So they're throwing the ball one side that's hankering for something, and then the ball goes back to the other side and it's lamenting. So they're going back and forth. I want this. When I get it, I'm not happy. I want something else. I get it, I'm not happy. Or I don't get it, then if there, I'm also not happy. No, that is material life. You get it, you're not happy. You don't get it, you're not happy. And you're not happy. Because you can't enjoy it anyway. It's not just the nature of the material world. And so the body has a purpose. It's meant to be used in Krishna's service. That is, this is Krishna's energy to be used in Krishna's service. And by using the body in Krishna's service, the body actually becomes spiritualized. I know one devotee. She contracted, contracted a very, very severe case of AIDS. And her husband also. Both had very little time to live. She decided to dedicate her life wholly and solely for the service of the Lord. And he decided to go out and try to get himself cured of AIDS and not engage in the service of the Lord. He died within a few weeks. She's still living and performing devotional service. And this was about 10 years ago this happened. You know, doctors told her, every time she goes to the doctors, they're amazed that she's even alive. Her T-cell count, anybody who's a doctor, is like something like 50. If you know anything about T-cells. And T-cells are what is your immune system. They guard against diseases. So she has no immune system practically in her body due to the AIDS virus. But still, she's doing more service than the average devotee in our movement. Why? Because when one uses everything in Krishna's service, Krishna takes over. And he can change, you know, it's matter into spirit and spirit into matter. Krishna is the all-powerful force that can bring, he can do the opposite. So when the body is used for Krishna's service, it becomes spiritualized. And it no longer has the properties of a material body anymore. Srila Prabhupada was giving a lecture one time explaining that the spiritual master's body is fully spiritual. And he explained, just like you put an iron rod in a fire and you leave it there for some time, after a while the iron rod becomes like fire. So one who is fully engaged in Krishna consciousness, their body is no longer material. It is actually a spiritual body. So these bodies are just dress. and they're meant to be used in Krishna's service. If we try to enjoy the body, we become implicated in sin. If we try to give it up, we also become implicated in sinful reactions. So the middle road is to use the body for the service of the Lord. And then take whatever is necessary to keep body and soul together. And that means whatever you need. Yukta hara viharasya, yukta swapna vibodasya, yuktas yoga bhavati dukaha. That one who is temperate in eating, sleeping, working, and recreation can mitigate all pains by performance of the yoga system. So we have a body, we give it what it needs, not more than that, and then we use it in Krishna's service. That is the actual standard. So I'll stop there, because I don't want to spend too much time, and see if there's any questions or comments on this point. Yes, Murari.
Would it be really wrong then, let's say the Bodhisattva actually really wanted to change his body, would be more comfortable doing this service in another body?
Well, I know one devotee. He's a member of our movement. He changed his body. He's fully engaged in Krishna consciousness now. And if you meet him, you can't even tell that, you know, he was a different gender before. Nobody speaks to him about it. He goes on. Everybody accepts him for what he is. He's a nice devotee. He's fired up. He's fixed up. In fact, he's a preacher too. So, I don't recommend it. If you ask me to change your body, you just take what Krishna has given you. If you're, whatever body you're in, that's the best situation. But, you know, I don't think it's what Krishna wants us to do, is to change our bodies. We should just change our desires. When you change your desire, you change your body. If your desire to serve Krishna is 50%, make your desire 70%, and your body will also be facilitated. You can always serve Krishna. So we should work on changing our desires, not changing our bodies. That's more in line with Krishna consciousness. Anyway, it's probably a messy ordeal changing your body anyway. Unless you find this forest where Lord Shiva is, and you can go into that forest and you can have an easy transformation without having to do anything. Very good. Back to David.
I was going to say you mentioned Sama Darshan.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel you can go back to that as Prabhupada, if Prabhupada speaks out for it. He was talking, I think it was a person that's on that level doesn't see, or doesn't
make distinctions. No distinction between impious and pious activities?
Yeah, because it's really on the sound version.
Well, their Samadarshan platform means that he sees the soul, he doesn't see the material energy so much. He sees the forms of the material energy, but he sees the soul within it. He doesn't give much importance to the forms. He just emphasizes the spiritual nature of everything. He's on the spiritual platform. Samadarshan is not an easy state of trance to get to that state. Now, pious and impious activities are all material, in the sense that there are acceptable activities, which are called pious, and things that are unacceptable, which are called impious. So, he doesn't perform either one, he performs devotion to the Lord. So he's transcendental to both pious and impious activities. Okay? Okay, so part of our program this morning is I wanted to take some time to introduce Baladev and allow him to speak a little bit about this program coming up. So I would encourage everyone to stay for a few minutes. But let me explain, say one thing before we start. This project in Gita Nagari, in the building of the Sri Sri Radha Damodar Temple, is a long-awaited event. So it's finally starting to manifest. So it's a very, very important. I have some pictures here of Sri Sri Radha Damodar, which I know most of you are engaged in doing some work here, but maybe we can pass them around so you can see the beauty of these deities. These deities are quite amazing. And maybe Baladev can explain a little bit about the composition of these deities. They're made in a certain elements. They can start and just pass them around. So just pass, please don't keep the photo. Just pass them around. You may want to keep it just by the beauty of these deities. You just try to restrain yourself, please. Okay, so Baladev, you can stay there. We'll, huh?
Late, I should say something tomorrow.